All right, guys, here we go. Nordy's podcast. Tough week for Minnesota sports. Minnesota Vikings go down. We will tell you everything you need to know about that game. The Loons lose in a fashion that can only be described as Minnesotan. And we'll talk about the Timberwolves season getting underway. Here we go, Nordy's podcast. And here we go, Nordy's podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Ryan and Jim. How are you guys doing?
Not too bad.
I'm okay. I'm post sports. My happiness comes from other places now.
Wow. Well said.
Yeah.
I'm not mature enough to have happiness outside of sports, so I'm not feeling that good because our Minnesota Vikings took one on the chin. It was really difficult. It was like an old timey professional wrestling match where like someone had a manager on the outside of the ring that kept cheating and the crowd could all see it, but the good guy could do nothing about it and the ref was too dumb to see it. It was that. That's what it felt like today. As the Vikings battled the Tampa Bay Bucks and his good friends, the NFL.
What a potent combo they make. My goodness, were they powerful today.
All right, guys. So now.
Yeah, so much for that whole theory that Goodell hates Brady and Brady hates Goodell and all that stuff. Turns out he's still good for business.
He's very good for business, I guess. I don't know why. I think he's kind of boring. All right. So, guys, we're going to dive into lots of awesome sports takes. But before we do that, we need you guys to give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Nordy's Podcast. Also, subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts from. Please give us that 5-star review, that rating. Give us those 5 stars on wherever you're at. And, that's it. Please help support the Nordy's Podcast. Help spread the word about the podcast. And as you socially distance, hang out with people during the holiday period, just mention the gift of the Nordy's Podcast, which – guys, guess what? Christmas special, holiday special, Hanukkah special.
Ooh, yeah.
Podcast free for 2021.
Wow. What a commitment.
We talked to our accountant and our manager about that, and we're good?
Yep. They're going to pay us with different funds than the funds that we would be paid if other people, if they paid us.
Okay, so we're still free. All right, awesome. Good to hear.
Free.
Love it.
2021, free of charge. And guys, you guys can listen to all of our old episodes as well. They are amazing. I always like it when people text me during the week and they're like, "What? I can't believe that you said this about Schitt's Creek." And I'm like, "When did we talk about Schitt's Creek?" Like, "Oh, it's from an episode from October." And I'm like, "Okay, yeah, all right, thanks."
That sounds right. I'm sure I said a number of things in October on the podcast.
Going back and checking on that. So go back and listen to our old episodes. They're all still fire.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. What are you guys Distcast drinking?
I'm at War Pigs. Remember this place, you know, with the all black cans and really like fucking hard rock metal branding? They look awesome. So they released some new ones to the cities. And this one is their Chaos Monger Double IPA. It is not hazy. It is multi and amber colored. It's like a badass beer recipe from like 6 years ago, but it works for me. It's very tasty, and it comes in a 6-pack, which I appreciate.
Nice. Nice.
I liked them a lot until we saw them at beer what's that beer fest thing called?
Dabbler maybe?
The Beer Dabbler. At the Winter Beer Dabbler, when I was like, "Yeah, we love you guys. We talk about you on our podcast. You're one of our favorite places." And they were like so annoyed. I was like, "Cool, I guess I won't drink your stuff then. Jeez, sorry." Wow. Sorry for fanboying out here.
What was the place that asked you what's a podcast?
That was Junkyard. That was like
crazy
Junkyard. And they were like, "Podcast? Like, is that like on YouTube?" And I was like, no, it's not. And then I was like, "We want to drink some of your stuff on the podcast." And they were like, okay.
Sounds great. Don't know what that is.
It's so funny because they've completely like gone the other direction, like with, you know, social media and stuff like that. They've like really embraced it. So anyway, For me, I'm back at Portage. I'm drinking north of there, double dry hop Mosaic pale ale. Not too heavy on the ABV. And $8 for a prowler. Can't beat that. Portage slowly creeping up my power rankings of Minnesota craft breweries.
And I am drinking Keep the Change, You Filthy Animal, which is a double India pale ale from Lupulin. It is actually a collaboration with Red Cow, the restaurant. And it's a big, huge, heavy, delicious beer. We all love Home Alone, and it just so happens to be a gift from my brother, co-host of the Northeast Purple Pride podcast, Adam. So thanks to Adam. It's a delicious beer, and I love Lupulin.
All right.
Jimbo, does that beer taste like it could be at Applebee's, but it would cost twice as much?
I like Red Cow.
I do too.
I know, like, I'm not alone.
You're not going to take the bait on that.
That's a Dreschmeyer take, which is they call it expensive Applebee's. I love Red Cow. I love their burgers. I love their fries. I love their homemade ketchup.
Applebee's ain't bad either, and they're usually, like, $4 for some reason. Like, their burgers are, like, pretty much free.
Applebee's is like, come on into Applebee's, where Long Island's are always a dollar. And I'm like, wow, like... How many people get D-dubs from going to Applebee's? All right, so let's start with some news today. Unless Jim, you got a warm-up for us?
Yeah, I got a warm-up for you. It's a simple question. Is Tom Brady good anymore? Yeah, exactly. See, you're looking and you're blank staring, and I can't get a straight answer at anybody. Nobody knows.
Tom Brady is still good, okay? Okay. Tom Brady is still good in the way that Cousins is good. Okay? Mm-hmm. Like, there are 32 teams in the league, and there's, like, 15 good quarterbacks, and Cousins and Brady are both in that category. But within the good quarterbacks category, there is most of the guys who fall into that category, which are, like, you could go to the playoffs and win a playoff game with this guy. And then there's the other category above that, which is, like, Mahomes, Rodgers, Wilson.
Russell Wilson. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that's it. I don't know. I mean, depending on the day. But they are like the great quarterbacks now. And Brady and Cousins are not on the same planet as those guys. But Brady is still really good, and he still is so smart. And even though his poor athleticism has gotten worse, he just knows what to do, and he knows where to go with the ball. And even when his body fails him, he, you know, it's kind of like watching like broken neck, like weird PED stem cell, like blood spinning Peyton Manning, who literally couldn't do anything. A guy, I don't know if he could have walked up a set of stairs and he won a Super Bowl, like just with his brain.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I just pulling up Brady's numbers for this season, they're not horrible. I mean, he's thrown for 3,500 yards and 30 touchdowns. His picks are a little up from, you know, maybe his normal level. Probably going to end up with his highest level of interceptions, but 30 touchdowns is he's on pace for his best season since 2011. If that says anything about where he's at, I'm not saying. But that's all, you know, he does have good receivers, and Arians is a pretty decent offensive coach. So his QB rating's at almost 97. So I would say he's still good. I think I completely agree with Eric. He's right in that category of if you were a team that was starting someone of middling quality, you would take Brady on a one-year contract in a heartbeat to if he could get you over the hump. And I think that's where Tampa Bay was at. So.
I think if you put Brady on the Vikings, they would look a lot similar. They'd look very similar to where they are right now.
Okay.
I think he's about as good as Cousins. And, like, I think they're both good, but they're not elite because there are very few quarterbacks that are elite.
Okay. All right. Good answers.
Okay. So we're moving into some news. First big announcement, the Minnesota Golden Gophers, who got a big, huge victory over Nebraska this weekend, missing, like, 33 players. is officially going to play Wisconsin this Saturday in the battle for the axe. I'm not excited about this because I already know how this goes.
Yeah.
Minnesotans, like, if anyone's like me, you're thinking to yourself, oh, great. Like, dang it, I really wanted to play Wisconsin this year. Too bad it didn't work because of COVID. Like, that's how I was feeling this whole time. Like, I was like, gosh, I hope the Wisconsin game gets called because of COVID so we don't have to lose to them again. And now we're going to play them. It's going to be another crappy performance. They're going to beat us again like they always do. And, yeah, I'm not looking forward to this.
Okay. I am. It'll be fun. I don't have any expectations to actually win. The whole season's just totally weird. But I mean,
Wisconsin's kind of in shambles too. Yeah. It's not like everything's humming on all cylinders over at Camp Randall. So if there was a year, Eric, to be optimistic about our chances, this could be it.
During the regular season last year, didn't we?
Oh, we were like playing to go to the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah, we got
killed at that game. Yeah.
Here and just abused us. Like,
yeah. I was at that game.
Yeah. Okay. Other news: breakdancing is officially your next Olympic sport. Yeah.
You know, if the Olympics needs one thing. That they need to keep adding, it's subjective, judge-based scoring that no one really understands outside of the sport. Like, the more figure skating, breakdancing, like, diving scores that we can get that nobody understands, instead of just, like an easy metric, like time and distance, you know, or throwing something or whatever, or speed, let's get more subjective so that there's a lot more controversy.
Wrestling out of there. It's the first sport ever in the Olympics. It's gone. But we need to have power walking and break dancing and every type of thing else. It's so stupid. The Olympics are the worst. Terrible time. Terrible. Hate the Olympics.
It's fun.
Hate the Olympics. Also,
Paris, 2024. I'm going to start practicing right now. I'm going to be an Olympian with breaking. Let's go.
Do you ever watch the Premier League during the Olympics?
No.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because it's not on because you have all the stupid Olympics taking up every channel.
Oh, I think we came to the bottom of it.
The Olympics.
Eric's made a huge problem.
Every channel. Oh, I can't hang out with you tonight. Oh, my gosh. The semis of figure skating are happening. Can't hang out. I'm like,
who was going to say that? Who said that to you in your life? No one ever said that to you. They couldn't hang out because they were going to watch an Olympic sport. That didn't happen.
It must have been. I'm guessing it was some gal from high school. You know that he had just got her phone number. She's like, "Oh no, it's the Olympic figure skating semifinals. I can't."
Eric, and Eric's like, "All right, blowing you off to watch the Olympic semifinals, boy. You don't stand a chance, anyways. Take your pride and move along."
Yeah. Okay, so I will say that the Winter Olympics are better, but not good.
Okay.
But the Winter Olympics have
breakdancing, though.
Hockey and snowboarding and skiing. And all of those things are at least kind of interesting.
Those are good.
Okay. Let's move on to the Minnesota Vikings. Fall to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, and Roger Goodell all battling it out to take down the Minnesota Vikings.
They did show him in the stands.
Yep, happy. Couldn't wait to go hang out with his buddy Tom at Mar-a-Lago tonight.
It's not far.
Nope, not far. All right, so 26-14 is the final. I think this was an absolute shame because I think that the Vikings played a really good game. I do. I thought the Vikings were the better team. They completely dominated the first half of this game. They ran the ball all over them. Cousins was super efficient. We were picking up first downs like crazy. Tom was overthrowing everybody. We scored a touchdown. We drove all the way down the field before taking multiple sacks and missed the extra point on the touchdown and then missed a field goal. And Dan Bailey's 2 weeks from hell continued after missing three field goals last weekend. And we allowed them to get right back into the game with Tom hitting a bomb over the top. Anthony Harris, what happened to him?
No idea.
He's a disaster this year. We gave him $11 million. He's a complete disaster. The big spots of the game I thought were in the second quarter. You had a pass interference call on Jeff Gladney, where they were kind of hand fighting him and Evans on what looked to be a jump ball. Evans slips and falls, gets the call, which would have taken them off the field. Actually, would have been Vikings ball because Gladney picked it off, which was a iffy call, I would say. And then on the last play of the half, Tom Brady throws a Hail Mary. And for the first time in 11 seasons of the NFL, they called pass interference on a Hail Mary, which is just an absurd call. Even at halftime, they were like, this was really confusing that they called this.
Yeah, so then they got another 3 points out of that.
They got another 3 points out of that. We come into the beginning of the third quarter. There's another touchdown, this time by Gronk. The Vikings get moving. I really thought the Vikings kind of dominated the rest of the game. But the problem was is that they started sustaining offensive line injuries left and right. And by the end of the game, down two scores. Dan Bailey had missed three field goals and an extra point. The refs had done everything in their power to not punish Tampa Bay for anything and to give the Vikings every punishment they could. And the Vikings just had to drop back on every play. And the Bucs pass rush was getting home often late in the game.
It was a little strange when, you know, Kirk was looking pretty mobile for the most part. I mean, they even called a draw that he ran for a first down, which was pretty wild.
Yep.
But there were just like when we got down into the red zone and they could pack in their secondary and Kirk had to wait for someone to clear defenders and get open. It wasn't a first read situation. And by that time, the D-line and, you know, blitzing linebackers were all over him. And even some of the play calling was a little bit questionable when, you know, I can clearly see they have three rushers on one side and then Dalvin fakes a draw and doesn't pick up, the blitzing, you know, outside backer. It was just like there was a lot of recipe for disaster in that situation. So, like Eric said, Cousins took like two sacks in a row, and it went from like what would have been like a 28-yard field goal to like a 45, and then Bailey shanked it. Not that I'm confident from him at 25, but at the same time, it still takes you into a position where, you know, you're not going to get points on that drive, or you're less likely to get points on that drive, which we desperately needed at that point.
Cousins was sacked six times for 52 yards, which was not great. He also ran for 41 yards though.
Yeah, he was taken off, which was very, very scary, but also like, all right, Kirk, you could do this. But then like, I'm like, why are you diving headfirst continually? Like they have the rule in place for you to protect yourself. But he's like, nope, headfirst. You can tell he doesn't run a lot.
What was weird to me was that they really did a good job taking Thielen and Jefferson out of the game. They were not going to let Thielen and Jefferson beat them. So Irv Smith, Tyler Conklin, CJ Ham, Amir Abdullah, Dalvin Cook led the way in the passing department. Cousins had to run the ball more. Dalvin Cook over 100 yards again. This game really was frustrating to me because this felt like a game that we should have won.
It was very winnable.
And yeah. we between some questionable officiating and Dan Bailey absolutely just having a horrible game. We end up letting this one slip out of our hands and probably the playoffs slip out of our hands as well.
When was the last time you saw CJ Ham collect two consecutive receptions in any Vikings game ever? I don't think that's ever happened, and I saw it today, and I was shocked.
I love CJ Ham. I thought he was great today. He was opening up big holes for Dalvin, who, like I said, ran for 102 yards against the top running defense in the NFL. I thought the Vikings did what they wanted on offense. I know they only had 14 points, but they could have added another 10 on field goals. And, you know, 24-23 without the sketchy field goal at the end of the half, we win the game. So, to me, this was a really good, even winnable game that got, you know, for whatever reason, our own doing and things that were out of our control slipped away. And now the Vikings probably need some help and to win out as they have games at Detroit and at New Orleans and home against the Bears. So Bears next week at home, or going on the road on Christmas Day against the Saints and on the last game of the year at Detroit. not looking good.
Nope. Mail it in, please.
Mail it in. Mail it in. All right, guys. And we go from some bad news to some other bad news, and that is the Minnesota Loons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Ooh.
That game sucked. That was hard.
I mean, I hate to get drug into something that I know is going to end poorly. And, like, we all did. And, like, we were messaging each other, like, it's going to be crazy when we blow a two-goal lead and lose this thing. And then it still stung.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it did. It sucked. It looked so, I mean, it looked like, damn, we're going to the MLS Cup here. Like, this is crazy. I mean, we were up by two. It was at the half. It wasn't like it was, like, early and you didn't know what was going to happen. And we were kind of dominating. So, you know, Seattle just figured it out and figured, hey, wait a minute. We are the better team. Let's make this thing go the other direction.
Well, I was, Eric, I don't know about you or Jim, you, I was fully sucked in. Like, I was in. I was like, listen, we got to defend. I was sending you guys the text messages like, we got to defend for 12 minutes. You know, this, I'm not excited about it, but this is where we are. And then they got the first goal and you're like, okay, you knew they were going to get a goal. They had been coming at us and they were due. Then they got the second goal and then you knew the third goal was coming. Like, it was inevitable at that point that was happening.
Here's the things that I was getting upset. I kept texting you guys saying, how in the fucking world do they have two on twos? Like, it would be, the ball would come out to midfield and then suddenly it would be our two center backs against their two attacking players in a whole half of field. You know what I mean? Like, infinite space, and it was two on two. And I was like, how do we keep ending up in these two-on-two situations in space over and,
like,
over,
push,
and over?
Push with our guys push so far forward in a situation where we need to have at least six guys behind midfield.
I was just like, park a guy in the middle of the field right now to be a pivot on your offense playing deep, and he's just there to stop any break. And he can take a foul if he needs to, and he's just there to stop the break. And for some reason, we were just bombing forward up two goals. It was so weird. We also made some really conservative moves. Suddenly, we lost all possession. We were doing this thing where we'd get the ball, and then we would just kick it to the midline and then, like, reset for more defense. And I was like, if they ever tie it, this game is over because we have no offense anymore. We're just playing defense desperately. And so it felt inevitable. It was inevitable. And the Loons go down. Now, guys, I will tell you one bit of news that will make you feel slightly better, and that is that MLS Cup went to the Columbus Crew 3-0 over the Seattle Sounders. So we were probably –
you know what made me feel better?
What?
Is that yesterday I was flipping through the TV channels, and I saw that the MLS Cup was on. And then I was reminded that I didn't give a fuck about MLS, and I turned off. And then I was like, wait a minute, maybe it wouldn't have been that big a deal if United had been there. No one cares.
It would have felt like a big deal because we live in Loserville, USA, and it would have been fun to just get a title in something. But it was not to be.
Yeah, not to be. Not this year. Next year, you know, they'll be better. We'll see.
I'm a guess not.
Why? We're going to sign that guy, Reynoso. He'll be here. Right?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Reynoso got sold.
I wouldn't mind if he got sold.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the strike while the iron's hot. Like, okay, he's
20 million. Who wants him? Anyone can have him. Hello, yeah. Italy. Who wants him in Italy? All right. Loons, they lose. It sucks. It was the most Minnesota thing ever. For those of you who didn't watch the game, they were up 2-0 in like the 84th minute or something, 82nd minute. They gave up a goal. It was 2-1. Then in like the 89th minute, they gave up another goal. And then in like the 91st minute, they gave up the third goal. And it was rough.
It was brutal.
All right, guys. Also, the Minnesota Timberwolves start with their first preseason game. Good games by Towns, Russell, and Beasley, all of them in double figures. Lehman ended up in double figures as well. Rubio had 9 points and filled up the chart pretty well. Anthony Edwards got his first look at the NBA. And anything else you really noticed in this game?
No, basketball's back. I'm excited. They look like they were having fun. That's my only goal for the team. So Edwards did not blow me away. I mean, I was looking for just a little bit more. He seemed pretty afraid to shoot. He kept looking to try to make some kind of cool pass that would end up in a turnover. So he needs to just have some confidence and go ahead and take the shot himself, see what he can do.
I just want everyone to know that we are officially going to be part of a fantasy basketball league this year, and that Jim didn't want to be in one, but he is also the only person I know who watches preseason NBA.
Man, I watch NBA all the time. I watch it all the time, but I don't want to have that hanging over me, and I don't want to be setting my lineup every day, I assume. You have to look at it every day?
No, you set it like weekly.
All right.
It's like the NFL.
I'm skeptical as hell about this fantasy basketball thing, especially after the season I've had with fantasy football, but I'm in. Let's go.
The difference is that, like, in your free time, like, Thursday Night Football is on, and it's the Colts and the Browns. Are you watching it?
No, probably not.
Monday Night Football's on, and it's the Bills and the 49ers. Are you watching it?
Well, maybe if my fantasy team hinges on it.
Sure, but if the Raptors are playing the Bucks on a Tuesday night, you're probably tuning into that.
Oh, it's on, baby.
That's
it's on.
The thing. Fantasy basketball is for you.
Okay. All right. I'm in.
All right.
One other note from Edwards. He was a minus 17 in the plus minus differential, which was worst on the court.
Okay. Yeah. Didn't do much. Wasn't helpful.
All right, guys. And then finally today, we never really talked about this. The Minnesota Wild dropped their new jerseys, which are going to be North Stars color jerseys. We talked about it on our Instagram, but we never talked about it on our show.
That's true.
Does this work for you guys at all? Are you excited about these jerseys?
They're cool.
1,000% more excited than anything that they've put out in the last 10 years.
Yes, I love that take. Me too. Me too.
They look awesome.
They look beautiful. I want one, but then I looked and they're like, 6 weeks to get it, and it's $190 plus tax. And I was like, oh.
Eric, I'll send you a website. We'll get around that. It'll come from China faster than it's coming from the NHL at this point.
I'm like Adidas. Like, what are you doing to make these?
They look great. A bunch of teams did like a throwback kit. So I think I think there'll be three total this year for each team, maybe four then. So, yeah. Well, obviously – We think the Wild need an update. This isn't really that. It's just going to be fun to see them in these uniforms for a few games this year.
And I think when people see them on the ice and see sort of that nostalgic look, they're going to be like, that's way better than the Kelly, or not the Kelly green, but like that forest green and cream that they have for their regular jerseys. Like, get that out of here.
Red.
Yeah.
Just the worst colors. Their jerseys are so stupid. Their name is so stupid. I am telling you, they need to just – people are always like, they should go back to being the North Stars. And people are like, well, the Dallas Stars own that name. And then you just have to remind yourself that it's the fucking NHL, and you could buy the name for $200,000. You know? It's the NHL. They make no – like, a couple players make lots of money. The teams all have no money. Literally, they're like, if we don't have fans in the stands, we're going to have to cancel the season. Like, that's where they're at. This league is dirt poor. No one watches it. If you just told the Dallas Stars, yeah, guys, we'll give you $200,000 cash to have the name the North Stars. They're like, do you want the Stars name too? Like, well, what do you want? Like, we are
for you want a goalie? We could throw a goalie in for you too. Yeah.
So I think that they should just go back to being the North Stars. I think people would be really excited about that. It would make up for a lot of bad feelings, a lot of things that weren't great. What do you guys think about that?
Dude, I'm all about it. I think that'd be cool. I think everybody's nostalgic for the North Stars. I don't know what they ever accomplished in their however many years they were here either.
But... twice.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I think if if we did decide to adopt it, you'd hear from all of the people that like love the Wild. Like, they're the guys that wanted to keep Nino Niederreiter around, you know, forever, and don't think Mikko Koivu should retire, and think Parisi's the greatest hockey player in Wild history. You know what I mean? Like, those people are much louder, and they're the ones that buy tickets. So I don't know if they want to, you know, adopt some like, we used to be the North Stars, we're not anymore. Now we're the Wild, and it's our name. I don't know. I could see it going both ways. I don't think we should try and recreate the magic of the 80s with the North Stars, but I agree that the Wild name is pretty terrible in terms of hockey names. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
All right, guys. So things have been bleak and terrible in sports, but that doesn't mean that every team has to be bleak and terrible. That's because we have the Minnesota Golden Gopher men's hockey team, who is eight and oh. They're this week, they're currently ranked number 4 in the nation. They played number 5 Michigan, and they beat them in back-to-back games 3-1 and 4-0 to go to 8-0. And you might be like, well, are they going to move up? Who knows? But above them is number 3 Minnesota Duluth, who split over the weekend. They split with Colorado College and Denver. You had 2-seed Boston College, who played Connecticut, and they split. And you had 1-seed North Dakota, who played against Western Michigan and St. Cloud, and they split their games. We're the only undefeated team left. We're 8-0. Halfway through the year, we're undefeated. Are you guys excited about Gopher hockey yet?
No. I have a question for you, though, Eric. have they let you drive the bandwagon yet? Like, have they let you just take it for a spin?
I hope that they do. They should know that I am an elite bandwagon fan. I will talk about them on social media. I will text my friends. I will go.
If this was a bus hierarchy, like in grade school, like you're in the very last seat, right?
Yeah, I'm in the one person seat.
Yeah, yeah. All
I'm
by yourself.
Seat, and I'm fucking with the emergency exit lever.
Ooh.
Yeah. I am telling you guys, if I got to drive the bandwagon, I will talk about it on my super popular and amazing podcast, Nordy's podcast as well. And I'm telling you guys, Gopher hockey is where it's at. They have a bunch of kids right now who are off at the juniors world championships, which seems like a terrible time to do this when we're in the middle of the most deadly period of a pandemic. But what do I know? And yeah, guys, it's super exciting. It's a lot of Minnesota kids, and they are pumping teams right now. Gopher hockey, maybe future national champs, but we are in Minnesota, so we know that that's not true.
Just one request.
Yeah.
Can you text me like half an hour before the next game starts?
Yeah, agreed. Because I don't pay attention to the schedule.
They come and go. No idea. You got to send me that text. I think if you want to really be the bandwagon leader and you talk about hyping people up, get your friends to watch, shoot me that text. The only reason I don't is because I don't have any idea when they play.
Okay. All right.
All right. Deal.
Finally, last thing today, we are going to do an update. Every 3 months, we do an update on our hot seats for Minnesota coaches, okay? So a 10 being the hottest of hot, and a 0 being ice cold, ice cube. You're sitting on the I don't know, the ice chair from the beer dabbler, okay?
Ooh, oh, that was perfect.
That's perfect, right? So we're going to go team by team, and you guys are going to say where you feel like the seat is hottest in the state. So we're going to start with the Minnesota Vikings and Mike Zimmer. They are 6-7. They have won 5 out of their last 7 games, but they most likely will not make the playoffs. They're coming off of a playoff season last year with a playoff win. How hot is Mike Zimmer's seat?
I honestly think he's got the hottest seat in Minnesota right now. I would put him at like a 6.5 hot seat. I think it was actually hotter earlier in the season. I think the temperature has cooled a little bit, like Eric said, with ripping off some decent wins. But I think the Wilfs might be looking at this as like from a longevity standpoint. Is this the right answer? Is this the guy to move this team forward? It might be time to take a they might be having conversations with their business partners saying, we're going to explore the possibility of a change, but we're not ready to do it right now. I think that's where the Vikings are at.
Okay. I'm going to set his seat a little cooler. I think it's at about a 4. It's not too bad. The pressure isn't too great. I think that early on it looked worse. I agree, Ryan, But I will say that, like, when they go on these big runs of playing really poorly and then playing really well, and it's sort of overall, right? It's not just this group or that group. Don't you sort of have to look to the coach to provide that consistency? Like, you know, the players have come in and out a little bit, and we've gotten some injuries, but actually as more people have gone out, we've gotten better. So it's sort of just like, was the coach ready? Did he not do a good job preparing the team for the season? I know that there's some COVID talk there too, but other teams started out fine and have continued to be good. Steelers fucking lost one game last week for the first time.
I think Zimmer's a five. I think that there was a path for him to leave this year, but I think winning 5 out of 6, getting himself back into contention, kind of fixing the mistakes from earlier in the year, were beneficial to make sure he keeps his job. I think even if they do poorly the rest of the way, he'll be back, but he might come back with a hotter seat. I think that the Wilfs are not reactionary, and they know that these are unprecedented times in a pandemic. Things are out of control. We had our biggest free agent signing opt out for the season. We had our star defensive player go out for the year in training camp. We have lost one of our starting linebackers. We lost both of our starting cornerbacks. We have lost multiple guys on the offensive line. I mean, we have been banged up, and somehow we still have a top of the line offense and an okay defense. I would say where I'm losing faith in Zimmer is that the special teams is so bad, and special teams is all about team building and depth, and it's all about coaching. And it makes me question both Spielman and Zimmer a little bit when our special teams is so tragically bad. It's usually a sign of bad teams. So
right, and then they haven't improved.
No, I know. That's where I'm questioning them both. But I do think that he's done a good enough job, and he's got a good enough track record that he's not going to go anywhere this year.
So 4, 5, and 6.5, so about 5.25 collectively.
All right, Rocco Baldelli.
0.03.
Wow.
Yeah, he's under very little pressure. I'd put him at a 1.5.
I don't see Fabian Levine other than like in the upcoming Twin season. If they go 0-18, does Rocco Baldelli like even have to question his job? I think if Baldelli leaves the team for any reason, it's going to be for his own reasons. If he gets another job offer that's more lucrative, but I don't see that happening either because nobody has any money to give. So I think he is very secure in his job as of today.
You guys know the Russo brothers?
Yeah. The directors?
Yeah. You know what are the brothers that do movies? The
Safdie brothers?
Yeah, who's the other?
The Coen brothers?
Who did Fargo?
The Wachowski brothers?
Wachowski brothers. Like all right, you have these sibling brothers, and they both have
the Farrelly brothers.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't forget them.
And you have these siblings, and they have the same job. They co-direct everything. I'm just telling you guys, I know that that's not the case with Falvey and Levine, but that's how I imagine them. In my opinion, they have the same job, and they both do the same job, which also isn't true. I don't know who is whose boss. I don't know who does what. All I know is that one of them was like maybe going to be gone, and we just re-signed him. Like it was.
So they were going to break up.
Yeah, they were. Like, it was like in the cards that one of them could have left here, and they just re-signed one that was like iffy to come back. So, not sure who. Don't know who's more powerful. Don't know either of their job titles. Falvey and Levine is just a duo that does
their
job together.
They're Falvey.
They're Falvey. I have no idea. If you said one's Falvey and one's Levine, which is which? I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't know either.
I wouldn't know. If you said who has more power, I don't. I'm telling you, I have no idea. They're the same person to me. Falvey and Levine is Falvey. Rocco is at a 2. I think that it could get to a point, though. Like, if they just keep bombing out of the playoffs, like, at some point they're going to be like, this sucks.
Like, okay, yeah. So from, you know, basically 365 days from now, yes, the hot seat may change. But as of right now, there's 0%. He's not at a 2.
Yeah,
he's at less than a 1.
You're right.
Well, you could say it's a 0 or a 10. You know, like I'm saying he's a 2. He's close to the bottom. He's pretty safe. Ryan Saunders.
I think there's a little bit more heat there. I might put him up at a 4.5, as in if the team isn't meshing well and Edwards is not getting any better and we're starting to see, and maybe like, who's our rookie from last year we took at number 7?
Culver
isn't getting any better. And it just sort of seems like, all right, well, we gave this guy maybe too much time anyways, as is. I mean, he was essentially a nobody, and he probably got the job because of his last name with the wonderful like relationship we had with Flip Saunders. All those things are undoubtedly true, but you want to still give the guy a chance. He is a coach that I could see being let go halfway through the season. I have an idea that Rosas has somebody in mind, or at least an idea of his ideal coach, and that is sitting in his mind. And if it doesn't go well and they're not communicating well, I think that he has a chance to be let go during the season.
I think that's the ultimate arbiter in this discussion. I would say Ryan Saunders is at an even 5, and he's got a 50-50 chance either way to take this team forward and be competitive, or the players just don't respond to him for whatever reason, and it's not working, and it's not his fault. It's just the way things go in basketball. Basketball's funny like that. I always talk about, you know, chemistry and all of that stuff, and sometimes the coaches aren't able to bring that out of their players. And like you said, with the new GM, you know, was just going to hang on to Saunders for, you know, last season, didn't really matter. It was completely irrelevant whether Ryan was coaching the team or if you or I were coaching the team, the results were going to be virtually the same. But yes, you're 100% right. There is one or two people in the back of Rosas's mind that he's been thinking about and saying, if things go pear-shaped, we're going to go in a new direction. And if things go well, then we're going to say, we always backed Ryan Saunders. We were never looking at it. You know what I mean? Like that's exactly how it'll go.
I am going to go and say he's a 6. I think he probably has the least job security of any coach in the NBA.
Yeah, but he's got Glenn Taylor, man, and Glenn Taylor makes terrible decisions. So I'm not saying that Ryan Saunders is a terrible decision, but he's got Glenn Taylor at his back, and so any of those decisions have to go through him first.
Fuck, and hates to make rock the boat or do anything, but I'm just saying he is probably the lowest paid coach in the NBA. He, I think, has the least job security of anyone in the NBA. I think if you had sports writers make some BS meaningless list that they love to make that's like ranking the best coaches in the NBA, I have a feeling that he would finish 30th out of 30.
Easily.
I'm not saying he's the worst coach, but I think that if you asked everybody in the league who knows what they're talking about, right or wrong, they would say he's the worst coach. So
to be fair, he's gotten the worst results so far.
Well, I think I'm going to put him at a 6. I think he knows that the seat is warm underneath him, and there better be results or Glenn Taylor will do absolutely nothing. Okay.
Yeah, I think the hook will be pretty quick and swift if it does come to that.
Guys, I'm sorry that it has come to this, but I've got to put you guys on the spot. I've got to take it out. The gun is pointed at you guys. I am pointing a gun at these guys. Gun to your head. Does Ryan Saunders make it through the entire season?
No.
No.
I say no too.
We should have waited like 2 months to do this, and we all would have said he's at an 8.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll do it in a few months. All right, guys. That is all the time we have on the Northeast Sportscast. Please tune in to our screencast where you will not want to miss this episode. Wow, this is going to be one of the biggest episodes in the history of the Northeast Podcast. So tune in. It will be out tomorrow. We can't wait. We'll see you guys there. Thanks for listening to the Northeast Podcast.